Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Chulin Daf Samach Zayin. Don't forget to click on the daf option in order to view a marked daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur commences from 11 lines from the top of Daf Samach Zayin. You will notice there is a framed section of text on that line. We begin with the expression Debei Rabbi Shmuel Tana. The Tana of the Yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel teaches the following Tanaic source. The topic that we will be continuing with is the topic that we've been discussing already since the last year, and that is the necessity of having signs of kashrus, skin, scales, and fins on sea, on water creatures. Where does that apply? And we discovered in our last year that the necessity of having these signs of kashrus is not necessary in all bodies of water. Up till now, we have discovered that since the pasuk mentions yamim and necholim in an explicit fashion as sources of water where these signs are required, yamim, seas, necholim, rivers, we have come to the conclusion that the necessity of having signs of kashrus apply to bodies of water that have the characteristics of seas and rivers. And that is that they are attached to the ground, excluding, for example, vessels, and they are running water that is in constant movement, as opposed to water that is in pits. Pits come in different forms, but pits containing stagnant water. So that up till now we have seen that fish or water creatures that develop exclusively in vessels and in pits don't require signs of kashrus. We have another approach represented in this Tanaic source that deals with the same psukim that we have been dealing with till now, and it reads as follows: Bamayim, Bamayim. Now these are words that appear in the pasuk. We made reference to these psukim in our previous year. We are dealing with that which you find in Sefer Vayikra. We've also included these psukim in our marked Gemaras. So that you need to have these signs of kashrus, as we said, only in the bodies of water that are similar to the yamim and necholim. So here we have these words, Bamayim and Bamayim, and they're found Shtei Pa'omim in Pasuk Tes, Ein Ze Klal Uprat, Ela Riba Umiyet. This school of Devei Rabbi Shmuel feels that the Psukim in Vayikra Yud Pasuk Tes is not to be darshaned in a Klal Prat fashion, but rather in the Ribui Umiyut method. These are different methods of expounding upon psukim found in the Torah. Rashi here goes to great lengths to explain the differences between the ribui miut method versus the klal uprat method. But in the context of our shiur, we are not going to elaborate, but we're interested in seeing the conclusion that he reaches. So the source continues, Bamayim riba. The expression Bamayim indicates a ribui. Bayamin, a ribui meaning is an inclusive expression. Bayamin minucholim equals miyeh. means it's a limitation. In other words, the necessity of having signs of kashrus, the first word indicates b'mayim would mean all sources of water. B'yamim uv'necholim, mi'eit is a limitation to seas and rivers. Then, b'mayim, the word b'mayim appears again, chazar v'riba, riba u'mi'eit v'riba, riba hakoil. When you have this kind of Torah sentence structure, pasuk structure, we are to include everything. My Ravi, what are we including? Charitzin uneitzin leisura. Charitzin and eitzin are types of ditches that have running water in them. Umay miyet, what's excluded? In other words, even though we said a moment ago we're including everything, we're including almost everything, because we can't lose sight of the fact that there are limitation words in the pasuk. The words bayamim unecholim limits us. So what is excluded? Boros, shifin, umaoros, lehetera. Pits of different sizes and construction, but they are, lehetera means that there is no necessity of having signs of kashrus in creatures found that grow and develop in these types of water situations. The Gemara asks, Eimo mai riba, here the Gemara is suggesting maybe we should say the opposite, that as far as what's included in the restriction, it should be boroshichim aros, and what's excluded from the restriction, vessels. Let me just for the sake of accuracy retract a detail. The suggestion here is not the opposite, but rather when it says my riba, that the ribui of things, of bodies of water, should be expanded to include even boros shifun ma'oros. That not only did we say haritzin and neitzin are included, but boros shifun ma'oros should also be included li'isura. Li'isura means for the restriction, and the only thing excluded would be vessels. So that if you use the If you accept this method, you're going to end up saying that the ribui, miut, v'ribui will in effect include almost every body of water with having the restriction of needing signs of kashrus, and the only thing not included would be vessels. The Gemara answers, well, in Cain, if you say that, then tochlu mayahani le. What will the word tochlu that was found at the beginning of Pasuk Tes, what will it do? Its role is to include the to exclude the bar, or to, let us say, to declare that the bar is to declare that kalim, the word tochlu, its role is to declare that kalim don't need to have signs of kashrus. Creatures developing in kalim don't need to have the signs. But if you're going to say that kalim is derived from the riboy miut v'riba as not needing the signs of kashrus, then the word tochlu will have no role. Therefore, we're not going to say this suggestion of the ema that we just learned. The Gemara asks, V'epuch ano, and if we look in Rashi on the third wide line under the Gemara, Rashi says, the kevan delav taimo yohiv, l'milsei kishar ke'en haprat, since we're not giving reasons for why we're including and excluding different types of waters, emo tochlu, let us say that the role of tochlu is l'mishri charitzim, to allow charitzim, meaning that creatures found in these ditches containing running water do not have kashrus restrictions. The ribui is lirbuye boros, and the ribui is to include pits, that creatures found in pits will have kashrus restrictions. Will, why don't we say that? Answer, kidetoni metasio. Just like based on the teaching of Metasio, the Toni Metasio Bar Yehuda, Metasio Bar Yehuda has the following Tanaic source. My rois le rabbis boros shifun maoros lehetera. What is it that you see to exclude boros shifun maoros from the kashrus necessity? And hence, it's lehetera means there is allowance for eating creatures developing in these kinds of waters. ulahotzi charitzin unitzin lisura, and to exclude from heter, and rather say there is prohibition when it comes to creatures found in charitzim and neitzin. Why is it that? Why is the breakdown as such? Answer: Marve ani boroshichun moros. I will include for leniency boroshichun moros shehein atsurin kikelim. They contain a stagnant water, withheld water. Withheld literally is the literal translation: water that's not flowing, like vessels. And we remember vessels as being a situation of allowance is derived from the tochlu word. So in addition to kalim, which is derived from tochlu, we also will include as lenient the boroshich numoros. Umoitsi ani chritzin reitzin, and I will exclude from leniency, rather, they'll be included with the restriction of yamim and ahoros, the chritzin and the itzin, shein, she'ein, atzurin kikelim. They are not like vessels in that the water there is free-flowing. At this point, you see we have a period in the text. The Gemara here is making a reference to something that was said back on daf Samach Vav Omid Beis. And we have a little arrow to indicate where this is coming from. So if you glance back to Samach Vav Amid Beis, you'll notice in the middle of the page, there's also an arrow to the right-hand side of the Gemara text indicating Samach Zayin Amid Aleph. And there, the Braisa was asking, what is the role of Tochlu? Now, we have been referring to this Tochlu already in today's Shir as the source that creatures found in vessels are allowed. The source there on Samach Vav Amid Beis mentioned, since the pasuk is Matir b'mefurosh and Matir b'stam, just like it's Matir b'mefurosh, it's Matir only kelim, so too when it's Matir b'stam, it's Matir only kelim. That's as far as Tochlu is concerned. And then the source over there went on to ask, how do I know to include as a place of leniency Boroshichun Ma'orois? The main issue at hand is what is meant by, or what is referred to, when it says that the Pasuk is Matir b'mefurosh and it's Matir b'stam. Mefurosh means something that's explicit, something that's clear, and Sosum is something that's not clear. So the Gemara asks, "Hey sosum v'hei mufurish, which pasuk is supposedly unclear, and which one is clear to matir kalim?" Pligi bo Rav Acha v'Ravina. There is a controversy between Rav Acha and Ravina with regard to which is which. Chad Omar. One of the opinions is yeshlo mufurish. Yeshlo is a reference to pasuk tes, in which the Pasuk says that kol asher yeshlo snap ivrikas keses. That's considered the Pasuk that clearly is matir vessels. V'ein lo, the Pasuk Yud, which spoke about creatures that lack the snap ivrikas keses, this is considered sosum, the unclear or vague Pasuk. As far vague, we say as far as kalim are concerned. V'chad Omar, the other opinion here, is the opposite. Ein lo mefurosh, v'yesh lo sosum. The posuk yud, which is the ein lo posuk, is considered the clearer posuk, and the yesh lo posuk tes is the vague posuk. When we speak about vague and clear, we're talking within the context of vessels, water found in vessels. My taimo demand Omar yesh lo mefurosh. What's the reason for his saying that the pasuk that pasuk tes is considered the clear pasuk? Omar loch. So he'll answer you. Minei hu dekal mishteru kelim. It's based on this pasuk that we are allowing the creatures found in vessels. In order to appreciate this discussion, it of course is imperative to be quite familiar with the sugya we did on daf Samach Vav. And in addition to that, Rashi here elaborates quite a bit. So for those of you who are interested in seeing the the deeper meaning, or the more thorough explanation, we direct you to Rashi. However, we are going to continue in the Gemara itself, as it goes on to say, "My taima demand omar ain lo mafurash." What's the reasoning behind the opinion that says that pasuk yud is considered the clearer pasuk? Answer: the high who the kamuchoch aheich. It's as a result of pasuk yud that I am able to understand that pasuk tes is allowing kalim. In other words, without pasuk yud, as the Gemara goes on to say, de'i meheich, had I had just pasuk tes, which is called the yeshlo pasuk, hav amino bekalim, I would have thought something completely different. I would have thought that regard to vessels, afagav de'isle nami lo techol, I would have thought that even creatures that have the signs of kashrus, but if they're found in kalim, you're not allowed to eat them. Therefore, without pasuk yud, I would have no clue as to what pasuk tes is talking about. Therefore, pasuk yud, according to this opinion, is considered the mefurash, and pasuk tes the sosum. At this point, we have a new idea. Hence, we have a slash mark here. We're going to be talking about creatures that developed, creatures that lack signs of kashrus, that developed under heter circumstances. However, as a result of something I do with the liquid containing these signless creatures, they might become forbidden. So if we glance at the outside margin, we'll see how we've introduced this Gemara with a tatnose, a subtopic. Tolas shenotzra beheter, a worm, or we can say the creature lacking the signs of kashrus that developed under heter, under allowed circumstances, meaning they developed under circumstances that don't necessitate their having signs of kashrus. However, I may, let's say, pour the vessel with its beverage in it, and there are different situations. Algabi misaninis, that's one situation, on a strainer. Al dofne kli, what is the status of the creature when it's not in the water proper but on the wall of the vessel? And al dofne bor, on the wall of a pit. The Gemara, Amar of Huna, lo lishvi inish shichra b'tzavaisa b'urta. Lo lishvi, don't pour. Lo, a person, lo lishvi inish, inish is a man, a person, shouldn't pour shichra beer, and the Gemara is referring to beer made from dates. And it was common to have worms that developed in dates. The fact that worms developed in dates per se doesn't mean that the worms are forbidden, as we will discuss more later on. However, the worms that developed in the dates, if you pour it, but tzavaisa is on a strainer. The Rashi describes the strainer as being made of twigs that are positioned in a crisscross fashion, can serve as a strainer. Buurta at night, not to pour, and Rashi explains that the word lishvi, by the way, means it's like a slow pouring, where you pour out the wine over a strainer into another vessel. You shouldn't do this pouring at night. Dilma porish li'el mitzavaisa, the worm that, albeit developed under allowed circumstances, it might get caught on the mesh of the strainer. V'hodar nofil lukos, and then after it's momentarily stuck on the strainer, it then falls into the cup into which the beverage is poured. At the point that the worm left the original vessel, and when it was on the strainer, it's therefore not in a vessel per se. It's on the meshwork of the twigs. At that point, it really is not allowed anymore. V'havi oiver mishum sheretz hashoretz al ha'oretz. The person, because he was pouring it at night, isn't going to realize what we just described. He's not going to realize that the worm was on the strainer. He'll think it went right through the hole, and he'll end up consuming it when in fact it became usur based on this pasuk of the prohibition of eating sheretz hasheretz oretz, creatures that crawl on the ground. Here, the word ground has a more expansive meaning, namely, while on the strainer, also it has that status. Namely, it's not in a vessel at that point. The Gemara asks, well, ihochi b'mona nami? Well, even in a vessel itself, where you say you can drink the beverage and the worms that are in there, how should that be allowed? Dilma porish ledafne d'mona. Maybe the creature that you see in the water in the vessel itself, maybe it departed the water proper and climbed and crawled on the walls of the vessel. V'hadar nafilim, and then fell back into the vessel. Similar to our case of it being on the strainer and then falling into the cup. The Gemara answers, I wouldn't worry about a case of it crawling on the wall of the vessel. Hasam hainu revise. Revise means its growth. That's its normal way of development. And as a result of that, it's still considered within the category of being in the vessel. In the vessel, and it certainly is simply on the walls of the vessel, even though it may not be under the water line, it's nevertheless considered its normal development. And as such, as Rashi says, it's as if it didn't depart from the water, from the beverage. Umenot temra, from where does one know this? The Sanya, we have the following Tanaic source. Minayin l'rabois b'rishifun moros, from where do we know that we include, as far as leniency is concerned, not just vessels, but creatures found in these types of pits? That a person can bend over, drink from their contents, and not restrain himself based on a fear that maybe he'll be consuming worms. Talmud Lomar, Toichlu Mikol Asher Bamayim. And this drasha we have seen before. The pasuk says Toichlu Mikol Asher Bamayim comes to include Boros Shifrim Oros for the purposes of leniency. Shouldn't you concern yourself that maybe when you're bending over and drinking from the water in the pit and consuming worms, maybe those worms had crawled on the walls, the inside walls of the pit? Elo, hainu revise. Rather, we say that we don't worry about that possibility because this is its normal way of development. Creatures that are found in pits, sometimes they crawl out of the water onto the walls of the pit, and that doesn't bother us, as we can see from the drasha we just read. Hachanami, so too, if it crawls on the wall of a kli, we say hainu revise. This is its way of growth. This is its development, and hence it's viewed as if it didn't leave the water. Omale Rav Chisda l'Rav Huna Tanya d'Mesaye Aloch. Rav Chisda tells Rav Huna. Rav Huna is the one that introduced this section of Gemara that mentioned that if the worm gets stuck on the strainer, it will then become forbidden, even though it grew under allowed under heter circumstances, under circumstances of leniency. So the source says, Kol hasheretz hasheretz al aretz, quotes the pasuk, and this pasuk says that all creatures that all these sheretz creatures that crawled on the ground are forbidden. L'rabois yavchushin shesininon. This comes to include yavchushin. It's a type of water creature that is found in wine cellars. So it's included in the prohibition of sheretz hasheretz oretz if you're dealing with wine that had been sininon, means strained. Taimah de sininon. The problem with the yavchushin is because you strained them. Ha lo sininon. Had you not strained the wine, sorry, they would have been allowed, as based on the allowance of creatures that develop in vessels. However, the straining of them raises the problem of them then being categorized as sheretz hashoretz al haoretz. Omar Shmuel. Since we're dealing with creatures, worms that develop under heter circumstances, Shmuel points out kishus shehislia be'aviha. Kishus, a type of vegetation that became wormy, be'aviha means while attached to the ground. So that you have a type of vegetable, the kishus, and it became wormy, but it became wormy while the vegetable was attached to the ground, while it was still growing. Asura mishum hasher zeshoritz al oretz. This kishus is forbidden based on this pasuk of sheretz hasheritz al oretz. Rashi on the top line, v'avio ba'oida mechuberes, while the kishus is still attached to its plant from which it's growing. Sheretz oretz, the worm is called that. The asura hatolas lechol, the worm that develops in this is forbidden to eat. The game of the maleches psocha kishus, since the worm moves around in the kishus, in this vegetable, the he mechuberes bakarka, and the vegetable is attached to the ground. Have ke mehaleches agabi karka. It's no different than if it were. It's like it's crawling on the ground, and that of course is forbidden. Aval hislio leachamikan, if you had, let us say, a vegetable that you detached from its plant, from its growth, you put it in the refrigerator, and it then became wormy, that's muteris. That vegetable, even though the worm in that vegetable is allowed, ad shetetze lavir, until it actually emerges into the world. But as long as it's in the kishus that's detached, that worm is not prohibited. The Gemara now asks a question, Leimo Mesayale, can we suggest, can we say that the following supports this teaching of Shmuel? Shmuel emphasizing that the vegetable that became wormy while still attached is prohibited. The topic that we have assigned to this section of Gemara, under our no say heading in the outside margin, reads as follows: Toiloim hanim tsoim beperos, worms found in growths, vegetables, fruits, hamechubarim laoretz. One situation is the, as we just described, it's found in a vegetable growing from the ground that's currently attached, or tlushim, the worm is found in fruits and vegetables that are already detached. So the Gemara, in trying to support Shmuel, cites two Tanaic sources, and through the difference that the Gemara will suggest between the two upcoming sources that have been numbered in our Gemaras 1 and 2, through the difference between the sources that the Gemara will try to point out, will then attempt to show a support to Shmuel. However, it should be noted that after this attempt, there will be a rejection. The Tani Chado, one Tanaic source says, Al Horetz. The pasuk that says Al Horetz is Lahotzi es Hazizin Shebadoshim. Lahotzi means to exclude from prohibition, meaning to be, we can allow worms that are, es Hazizim Shebadoshim. Zizim is a type of Yitush, as Rashi says, a type of insect, Sheba Adoshim, that's found in Adoshim vegetables. Ves Hayitushim, another type of insect, Sheba Klisim. Klisim is a type of legume, Vitoilas, Sheba Tmorim, Visheba Grogros, and worms found in dates and figs. So this source, in effect, is telling us that different types of creatures that objectively would appear to be forbidden, different types of insects and worms, however, if they're found in these fruits and vegetables, they are allowed. V'tanyo idoch, there's another source that says, kol ha-sheretz ha-shoritz al-oretz, l'rabois, to include as prohibited, tolash shibikrei zesim shibikrei gefanim, worms found in, and without a careful translation, and we're deliberately being general right now, it seems to include in a prohibition worms found in olives and in grapes. Well, so seems to be a little contradictory. My lav, idi vidi bepeira. Are we not to assume that both of these sources are talking about worms found in the fruits proper? And the question then is, why in source 2 is there a prohibition, and in source number 1 is there a leniency? V'ha v'aviha, source 2 that speaks about a prohibition, is because the fruit is currently attached to the plant it's growing from. And being that it's attached to the plant, it's attached in effect to the ground. And as such, it's a true al ha'aretz. It's truly on the ground and therefore prohibited, even though technically it's in the fruit, but the fruit's attached. V'ha, source 1, which spoke about a leniency, shelo v'aviha, it's not attached, it's a detached fruit vegetable. And therefore, even though it's a worm or it's an insect, but it developed in a detached fruit, and hence it's not contained within the prohibition of kol asher ha'shoretz ala oretz. Well, that would in effect support Shmuel. The Gemara rejects this and says, loi. Not so. The distinction we just made is not to be accepted, but rather, both sources are talking about fruits, vegetables attached, and already, and one of the sources gives us a leniency, which makes it unlike Shmuel, so we would not have a support to Shmuel. But rather, we're expressing a very great point of leniency, that a fruit could be actually attached to the ground and the worm developing in it could be allowed, velo kashya. And as far as the two sources are concerned, ha bepira, ha bilana gufa. One case is when the fruit, when the worm is in the fruit itself, that will be lekula. And ha bilana gufa means the worm found on the tree or the plant itself, not in the fruit, but on the, let's say, in the root system of the plant, or the ilona is literally the tree itself. That is when you'll have a prohibition. Dekonami, by careful reading, you can in fact discover this explanation. Dekotoni, the source that spoke about prohibition, that was source number 2, said, Tolas shebi ikre zeisim shebi ikre gifanim. The word ikre often means the roots. In other words, the source that indicated prohibition is not talking about worms found in the fruits themselves, but rather on the tree that produces the fruits. Shma mino. This distinction is more conclusive. As we go on in the Gemara, we see a couple of triangles, and these are explained under our Mivneh heading in the outside margin. She'elos be'inyan tezuzas toloim v'peros. We're going to see questions that common to these questions is deals with the movement of worms within the fruits, that they developed. Ha'im hein nefochim lios asurim ishum sheretz ha'oretz. But by the fact that the worm is in a state of movement in the fruit, does that make it as if it's called a sheretz ha'aretz and hence forbidden? Boy, Rav Yosef, pirsha umesa mahu. Imagine we have a worm that developed in a fruit, in a detached fruit. Rashi takes pains to mention that all of these issues, the questions that are raised here, are talking about detached fruits. So, if it grew in a, it developed in a detached fruit, and it became, and then it fell to the ground, but it fell, and on the ground it was already dead. So, on the one hand, it's on the ground. That's a reason for prohibition. On the other hand, it never crawled. It was never in a state that it could have even crawled on the ground, because when it hit the ground, it was dead. So that's a question. Miktsasa mahu. Is partial considered complete? It could be that the question is here that only part of the creature actually walked on the ground. The Gemara itself isn't very clear about what aspect it's asking when it talks about partial. Rashi as well is not very elaborate. He just says, Mihavi kekula oidomo bo'inon kula. There may be room for interpreting this question in a build-up fashion, that if you were to say, let us say, that the pirsha umesa is a problem, that if it is a problem, even though it lands on the ground dead, That's when the entire creature is on the ground. Let's say Miktsasa was on the ground already dead. So that might be the meaning of this question of partial. Another question, La'avir ho'olam mahu. Let's say it left the fruit but didn't hit the ground. It simply emerged into the air. In other words, it's visible from outside the fruit. Rashi on this explains, La'avir ho'olam, pirshim pri tolush, La'avir, it departed a fruit that was detached, v'kodim shigil oretz, and before it hit the ground, kolta b'fiv levola, it was already in his mouth. So that you have someone eating a worm that was never on the ground, but it's not in the fruit either anymore. Im timsiloma pirshu mesa muteres, if you were to say that departure from the fruit and hitting the ground dead is allowed, mishum de'eno ruyo lirchosh, and the basis of that leniency, because since it's dead, it's not able to crawl on the ground. Avochaya, if it left the fruit, didn't hit the ground, but it's alive, de'ru'uya li'rchoshlo, it could crawl on the ground if it were hit there. Since it has the potential of crawling, that would be a reason for strictness. So these are questions that were just raised. Teku, but we are not resolving, they remain unresolved. Boy, Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi asks, Legag tamra mahu. Let us say the worm crawled from the center of the date to the top of the date. Is that considered its normal growth? Or it's considered as if it's crawling on something else, like we saw before, crawling on the strainer presented a problem. Ligag garinoso mahu. If you say that crawling to the top of the date represents a problem, what about it's crawling from within the date pit, which is where they develop, to the top of the date pit? It moved. It moved from its point of origin to the top of the pit. Is that a problem? So this too remains, or one more question. Vitamro letamro mahu. Let us say that the worm crawled from within one date to another date. Imagine you have two dates that are stuck together. And it moves from one to the other. Is that a problem? In that case, you see, it didn't emerge to the Avir Olam, and it didn't rise to the top of the date either, but it went from one date, it borrowed from one date directly into a second one. What is the din there? So these questions also end off in teku, unresolved. As we go on in the Gemara, we notice there are two versions of what we're about to learn. A Roman numeral number 1 appears to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, and 3 lines later, a Roman numeral number 2. On the line, you can see a squiggle underlined Ikar D'Amri, representing a second version of what we're going to see. Omar Rav Sheshes Braid Rav Idi, Kukiani Asiri. Rashi says, Kukiani are toloim shebekoved v'shebereya. We're dealing with animals, and now we're talking about worms found in the liver and the lung of an animal. So these worms are osir. Mai taimo, why are they forbidden? Me alma osu, they came from outside, and hence they're standard ground worms that the animal simply swallowed with its consumption of its animal feed. Whatever, as it ate grasses and whatever else. But it came from the outside. So the origin of these kukiani, these worms, are sheretz ha'oretz, which the pasuk prohibits. Maskif lo Rav Ashi. Ime alma osu, if in fact they came from outside. In other words, these worms are part of the food that constitutes the diet of the animal. Lishtikhu derech beis hori'i. You would expect to find these kukiani in its intestinal tract, which leads to the part of the animal that leads to the point of defecation, which is literally the beis hori'i, where the
where the solid waste emerges. And the suggestion here by Rav Ashi is that since we don't find these in its digestive tract, and they're found only in the liver and the lung, which are not part of, those are not organs of digestion per se, so therefore it seems, according to Rav Ashi's question, he's trying to indicate that they do not come from outside the animal, but rather developed in the animal, and hence they're not sheretz ha'oretz. Ika di Amri, another version of this topic. Omar Rav Shisha Braid Ravidi, Kukiani Shoru. And you can see this is quite the opposite of what was presented in the first Lashon. The Kukiani, according to this Lashon, are allowed. Mai Taimo, why is there an allowance, even though they're worms? Mine Gavli, they grow in the animal itself. They developed in the animal itself. Gavli means developed, grew. Omar Rav Ashi, Pshita. Rav Ashi says, well, it's obvious that they're mutter. And in this case, in this sense, Rav Ashi here is not so different than the Lashon before, other than the fact that before he was raising a question, and here he is simply agreeing. However, on a practical basis, his direction is the same, to indicate allowance. He says, Pshito, it's obvious, the ime almo ka'osu, if the kukiani had come from outside the animal, lishdaklu derech beisori, you would have expected to find them in their digestive tract, and we don't. The Hilchasa, the Gemara now rules, kukiani asiri, the kukiani are forbidden, maitaimo. Now, you have to speak out over here, you have to elaborate. If you're going to rule that they're forbidden, you're going to have to deal with Rav Ashi's claim. Well, why are they found only in the liver and the lung if they came from the outside? So to that, the Gemara explains, Meinam Nayim, the creatures came from the outside. Meinam Nayim, the animal, the host animal, or the animal in which they're found, dozed, was sleeping. The Aili Lei Beusia Toiloim, while the cow, or the sheep, was asleep, they entered usye, its nostrils, the toloim, the worms entered its nostrils, and hence it wasn't found, these worms are not found in the digestive tract, they're found in the lung or the liver, because from the lung it can get to the liver through different arteries, as we have seen in previous sugyas. Darni, these are worms found between the skin and the meat of animals and of fish. So there are two situations, the bisra asiri, the darni, in when it comes to animals, they are forbidden. The kavri, the darni that are found in fish, sharion, are allowed. Omar lo Ravina liime, Ravina said to his mother, Ivla li vano echo. When you are preparing fish for me, the fish that you prepare, let them be absorbed. Let these worms be absorbed in the fish, just as I, and I'll eat them. I'll eat them. Just make sure I don't see them. Rashi explains this when he says, Ivli, the kavri, the worms of the fish, the sochadogim, tini osam, shelo ere. Give them to me in such a way that I won't see them, and then be disgusted. So he's not worried about eating them, he just doesn't want to see them, but that'll be disgusting to him. Omerle Rav Misharshia braid Rav Achala Ravina. Rav Misharshia asks Ravina, my shno meho disanya. Why is it that the darni of fish are mutter? What's different about them than what we see in the following source? It says, Ve'es nivlosam tishaketsu. The rabbi says, have darnim shebebehema, to include darnim of behema. Basically, his question is, why is there a distinction made between the darnim in the fish and the darnim that the pasuk itself alludes to as being prohibited, darnim, these worms in behemoths? Omar le, so Ravina answers, Ochi hashta, how can you compare the fish issue to the animal ones? Behema bishchita hu desharia, the mishtaria. A behema becomes allowed through its slaughtering, In other words, an animal, when it's alive, is prohibited. When you slaughter it, it becomes allowed. V'hani, the worms, midelo ko mahanya lehu shchita, worms are creatures that don't lend themselves to being shechted. They're not something that one shechts. V'hani, midelo ko mahanya lehu shchita, these, the worms, that shchita has no effect on, b'isurayu kaimon, they retain the original iser, the original prohibition of the animal in which they grew. Let us elaborate a bit. An animal that's alive is forbidden. It's called Eiver Min HaChai. That's the term or the category that refers to animals when they're alive, and they are hence prohibited. In order for an animal to become mutter, for it to depart the Eiver Min HaChai status, the animal has to be slaughtered. So when you slaughter an animal, the meat becomes mutter. However, the Darni are not creatures that lend themselves to slaughtering. And since it developed in an animal that needs to be slaughtered, and the Darni cannot themselves be slaughtered, hence they remain or they retain their original prohibition. Avol, dogim, when it comes to fish, be'asifo be'almo mishteri, fish become mutter by simply gathering the fish, by taking them out of the water. That's it. There's no specific laws of shechita that apply to fish. V'hani ki ko gavlon, v'hetero ko gavlon. The worms, as they developed in fish. And as such, they developed under a heter circumstance. The rule or the law of Eiver Min HaChai does not apply to fish. So the worms were never in a state of prohibition, unlike the case of the worms in the animal that were in a state of prohibition. It's important to note, we're not talking about a prohibition of Sheretz al Haaretz, but we are talking about the prohibition of Eiver Min HaChai. So since in the case of animals, they were under the status of Eiver Min HaChai, and they themselves don't experience Shechita, they remain prohibited. Dogim, on the other hand, fish on there, were never in a state of the prohibition of Eiver Min HaChai. Therefore, the worms that developed in the fish are also allowed, just like the fish. Tanu Rabbanan. The Tanaic source that we have here will be elaborating on a pasuk and breaking the pasuk down as follows. Holech al gochoin, a creature that walks on its belly, that's ze nochosh. That's a reference to the serpent. Kol, the word kol, because in that pasuk it says kol holech al gochon, that's l'rabos hashilshul v'sadoyme l'shilshul. Shilshul is a type of worm, so it comes to include the shilshul and things like the shilshul. The pasuk also says al arba, ze akrov. That's an akrov is often translated as a scorpion. Kol holech, the pasuk says kol holech al arba, that's l'rabos es ha-chipushis ves ha-doime le-chipushis. Chipushis is a type of insect, another type of crawling creature, and the pasuk comes to include them as prohibited and anything like the chipushis. Marbe raglayim, the pasuk makes a reference to this thing called marbe raglayim, ze nadol. Nadol could be possibly a centipede, and we're saying that not by virtue of translation, but by virtue of the description of the nadol. Rashi calls it mea raglayim. It's referred to as the mea is a 100 feet, and in Latin the mea would be something like centi, and pede is a reference to feet. The source goes on ad kol, which is in the pasuk, as l'rabois es hadoime ves hadoime l'doime. It comes to include things similar to the marbe raglayim and things that are similar to those that are similar to it. Tanya, another Tanaic source, Rabbi Yossi ben Dormaskis Omer, Levioson dag torhu. The Levioson, which is a sea creature that's found in the referenced in the Tanakh, is a kosher variety fish. Shenemar gaavo afike moaginim tachtov chadudei chores. Now the Brisa explains how you see from these words a reference to kashrus. Afike moginim, elu kaskasim shabo. That's a reference to the scales. And Rashi explains how you see this in the words, but for our purposes it's sufficient to say what these points are a reference to. Tachtov chadude cheres, that is elu snapirin, that's a reference to the fins, shet poreach bohen, that the that move, and hence that enable the fish to maneuver. So you see from the posuk here in Eov, the Leviosan has fins and scales, and hence it has all the signs of kashrus, and therefore the Rabbi Yossi ben Dumaskus labels it a kosher variety fish. With that, we conclude our shiur and the perek as well.